But it was good to see him last night. He's a busy guy. He's got a game coming up here in a couple of hours, and we appreciate his time. Don, Darren Smith in San Diego, thank you very much.
Hey, Darren, good to talk to you again.
How's everything?
It could be better, but, you know, we're kind of on that track, right? And obviously playing your San Diego club right now. So we got our hands full down here.
I'm sure. They are a good club, Don, as you know, as you might remember as well. We were just talking about this. Your son Preston works for the Padres, correct?
Correct.
This isn't the NFL, so we don't have spy games and espionage and all that sort of stuff going on. But when the Marlins are playing the Padres, what is the dynamic for the Mattinglys in that situation?
Well, like last night after the game, I took Press back to the hotel. And, you know, we talked quite a bit, honestly. He's a pretty good baseball rat. And, you know, he loves talking the game. So we'll talk about different things. You know, obviously we're not going to talk about our situation when we're playing them. But other than that, we're talking about, you know, the trade deadline, probably like you all are doing. What do you need? What are you thinking about? Things like that.
Oh, really? What did he tell you?
Well, obviously they don't need a whole lot. You know, they like their club, and they should. So, you know, I'm sure a team like that is probably, you know, obviously I'm not on the inside, so he didn't tell me what they're doing. But teams like that are looking for that, you know, one piece here that fits into the equation. And, you know, it's like you're not going out to overhaul. You got a really good club already.
Did Press grow up a better baseball player or a better basketball player? Because he's sort of known around these parts for his baseball rat mentality, as you just said. He's known for being A.J. Preller's right-hand man, but he's also known for being there next to A.J. Preller an awful lot when these dudes are playing hoop.
No, he was always like that kid in basketball. I think that was his first love. You know, he was one of those guys who had a key to the gym. He'd go to the gym and shoot in the mornings before school. Obviously, you know, he got drafted and hung around a little bit, never found that niche in baseball as far as playing, and went back and went to school and played Division I basketball. So, you know, I was proud of him for going back to school. I thought he did what he had to do as far as getting the education. But I know he loves what he's doing there in San Diego, and obviously a pretty good place to be doing it and a good situation you guys are in right now.
Yeah, very good situation, Don. You remember some of the years coming down here when you were with the Dodgers. You remember what the market was like. You'd be surprised. It's a totally different place than you might have remembered when there were just tons of visiting fans in the ballpark. This place is electric. It's alive, and you got people who are wearing swag chains around the ballpark now, people who are wearing Tatis jerseys everywhere. I was just saying, when you were a player, I'm somebody who grew up on the East Coast, and I remember you as a player. I remember people wanting to emulate Don Mattingly. They would show up at Yankee Stadium with eye black on. They would try to emulate your batting stance. What is that like? I mean, you remember that, a version of that as a player. It was clearly pre-social media and, you know, pre-ESPN, a lot of that sort of stuff in the 80s, but like, What does that feel like when you're a player? How aware are you of you know, who you are and what you represent to so many fans?
I think over time you realize it. You know, when people are coming up to you with, you know, their kids and they tell you they're, you know, they played first base and wore 23 because of you and things like that. It's honestly a humbling feeling. You know, kids, you know, people now are coming to me like, name their daughter. I've met probably 5 or 6 Mattinglys out there, and That's really humbling, honestly, to someone to name their kid after you. So it's cool. And it's a good thing. Like you said, you guys got Tatis out there now, and it's crazy. I see the games when catch a couple of the West Coast games, and it seems like it's a crazy ballpark and a fun environment. Players love that, you know. So it's a good environment, sounds like, right now.
Don Mattingly joining us on Extra 1360. A couple months ago, you said something that made a little bit of news, and you already, I'm sure, know what I'm referencing. You said sometimes baseball seems unwatchable. And I don't want to – you've been asked about that a bunch of times, so, you know, it sort of speaks for itself. But what I wonder, Don, is what sort of reaction did you get for that? I wonder, both good, bad? I mean, were there people who said to you, yeah, I get it. Like, I hear what you're saying. These games are long, and it's the three true outcomes. Did anybody get in your ear and be like, hey, Don, you know, you're not helping here, you know, like we're trying to promote this sport. Like, what sort of reaction did you get?
No, I think it was okay. I felt pretty positive, actually. And I'm not a big social media guy, so I could have got blown up for it. I don't know. But I think most of the time I did get a chance to talk about it some, and I talk about it. And I think the league is trying to address it. People want action. right? They want a game that moves. I don't think anyone wants to sit around and watch two hits and a bunch of strikeouts every day, right? I think we would like to see an action. I think, you know, the moves with the baseball have helped offenses. I think we've seen more offense. I think that's equaling the playing field a little bit. But I think some of the rule changes that the league's talking about, those things fit in with what I was talking about, that we want a game that's more action, that's got a pace to it. You know, watch the World Series last year, like the last 40 minutes, two balls were put in play or something like that. That's hard to watch, right? And unless you're probably a Dodger fan or a Braves fan last year. So I think those are the things I was talking about. And I think people understand, because I think that's the way a lot of people feel, that we got to keep this game going and growing.
There's a lot of ideas. I saw another one today about pitcher-catcher electronic communications. People have talked about bigger bases, changing some of the ways that pitchers can toss over, how many times, limiting that. Is there one idea for Don Mattingly, a lifetime here in Major League Baseball, is there one idea that really just pops out to you that you go, yes, like that would dramatically improve things?
Well, I don't know if there's any one thing. And I think I look at it like you see rule changes in every sport. You see it in basketball, no hand checking. They want to create more offense. Football, you see different rule changes all the time. I think in baseball, I think the one I would like, the electronic, I think you see so many teams now trying to give signs from second base, trying to steal, not necessarily steal signs anymore electronically because they've really watched that, but more at second base, trying to give signs and all that kind of thing. I think that's one that could be a positive. I think the automated strike zone is going to be a positive. I think that'll help hitters some, make the pitchers throw it over. It'd be a universal strike zone. I think they'll get that right. You know, I like the pitch clock a little bit, honestly. I don't think we need to wait 25 seconds between every pitch. I think we can move at a better pace. Keep the batters in the batter's box. Just little things, right, that would keep the pace moving. It's not necessarily change the game. Keep the game moving.
Hear, hear. Right. That's what I said to Marty when Marty said that you would agree to come on the show. I was like, he just managed a four-hour baseball game last night. He wants to come on the radio and talk more about baseball?
Pretty easy to talk about this sport. I love it. Been in it a long time. You know that.
I do know that as well. And you've been in it a long time. I was just saying before you came on, you know, that people, this is still a great, you know, this is Tony Gwynn's town still. And one of the things that people remember about Tony is, you know, how infrequently he struck out. And he never struck out more than 40 times in a season. You never struck out more than 43 times in a season. Is that just an era that just is just gone? Like, I don't want to make it sound, Don, like I'm, you know, wistfully thinking about what it was like playing in the 80s and all that sort of stuff, because I'm all for evolution. And, you know, if there are different ways to do it, then so be it. But is that an era that you think maybe someday it's all cyclical, it comes back, or is that just an era of baseball now too far removed that we'll expect to see it anytime again soon?
Yeah, I don't think we get down to that few. You know, I think when, you know, I played against Tony in winter ball and was a big admirer of his and obviously a great hitter. And we were pushed to put the ball in play and use the whole field. And that kind of slowly, I think over the last 25 years or so, you know, the strikeouts became, you know, it wasn't a big deal to strike out. You know, an out is an out type thing. And that's grown to a different level. But I will say this, with all the analytics and plenty of numbers out there, right, there is you do see more and more talking about guys that don't swing and miss in the strike zone, that control the strike zone, that put the ball in play. You know, just a guy, for example, Cronenworth, you know, a guy out there that we watch and seen last night. He gets the ball in the strike zone. He doesn't miss it very often. So, you know, you start looking at those statistics of guys that put it in play. What rate are they striking out? Trying to push the strikeout rate down and pick those type of players. So I think there is a push to bring it back more to the middle. I don't know if it goes quite back to the point where we're choking up and doing everything we can just to put it in play.
Right, because that would take like an entire generation, right? Like that's not something that you just snap a finger and go, okay, this is the way we're going to do it, everybody, and it just changes. I mean, that's something that starts at the lowest level of baseball in this country and would take probably years to be put into practice.
No question. And I think it's taken years to get where we're at. I mean, as launch angle comes in and kids are swinging up, I've always told the story, you know, you come in and the analytics comes in and the front offices are talking, hey, we got to get the ball in the air. We want to get this ball at this launch angle, this and that. And then they walk into the other room and they tell the pitchers, hey, throw the ball at the top of the strike zone because these guys are trying to get it in the air and they can't hit that one. So it kind of works both ways, right? And we've been doing that for, you know, probably 15 years now, 10 to 15 years with this launch angle thing. And so now we've got kids in high school and teachers that teach in these, the younger kids that are teaching that and think that's right. You know, is it right or wrong, or is there a balance in there somewhere to bring it back to where you can put the ball in play and you can still have power?
Hey, Don, we appreciate it. Thank you very much. You've always been good to this show. It's been greatly appreciated here, certainly by a lot of our listeners as well. Thank you for doing this. Enjoy it, as always. Hope we get a chance to do it again soon.
Sounds good, Darren. Thank you, man.
Thank you. That is Don Mattingly, everybody. Yankees manager here. And again, and you know, I get it. It was a different time. It was a different era. Don Mattingly might not mean something to somebody listening like it does to people of a certain generation. But if you want to go back and look at some of those numbers, by the way, you know, six All-Stars and MVP, guy led the league in average and in hits. I mean, just – and then his body just gave out. You know, there was a time where the body just gave out and it was unwilling to cooperate. But there was a time where I would say that was a Hall of Fame trajectory for that guy. Take a time out. We'll be back after this. We'll hear from Blake Snell next.